Welcome to another edition of the Pouncecast. My name is Matt Menzel. Our guest this month, the 2016 Milwaukee Athletic Hall of Fame inductee and soccer alum, the pride of Appleton, Wisconsin. Apple, that being Sarah Hagen. Sarah, thanks for your time.
Yeah, thanks for having me. I'm excited to talk with you.
You know, like many of our guests, I want to start from the beginning and work our way to the here and now. So for you, when you look back, earliest memory, when did you first start playing soccer?
Probably back, you know, when I was 5 years old, where you just kind of swarm the soccer ball and get orange slices at halftime. And I started out, you know, young as I could, and actually did not love the game of soccer. My parents said that I hated practicing, and they made me actually, you know, see it out through the first game. And after the first game, I came running off the field and absolutely loved it. So glad that they made me stick through it, because obviously I was able to achieve and accomplish a lot of great things, you know, at UWM and beyond.
When you talk about maybe not liking the sport of soccer initially, what do you think changed? How did you eventually, you know, fall in love with the sport?
I think I've always just enjoyed being a part of a team and being able to achieve things. I remember looking back at my youth, you know, club career and being able to compete at the state level, win state cups, and you know, obviously then getting to be able to have success at the high school level and playing in front of your, you know, your teachers, your classmates, and then obviously getting recruited to play at UWM, playing Division I soccer, competing throughout the nation, and going up against some, you know, Big Ten schools, Big East, you know, a lot of high level programs, and just being able to achieve a lot. You know, looking back at my 4 years at UWM, there were four very successful, you know, seasons, you know, not only for the program, but for myself individually. So just having that, you know, being able to look back and say what I was able to achieve, both on an individual level and then obviously as a team.
Soccer obviously was a sport. Did you play any other sports growing up?
Yeah, I played basketball in high school. That was probably the second sport that I really excelled at or enjoyed and put the time and the work into. I knew I was never good enough to play beyond high school, but it was something that allowed me to stay, I guess, energized and ready for, you know, soccer season to come back around. Having that time away from soccer and still competing in a different sport was really, really good for me mentally and obviously physically, working in, you know, different muscles and just playing with different people. And you know, I think it was, like I said, it was a good refresher for me getting back to the soccer field.
And we'll talk about it. Obviously the accolades came your direction, especially in high school on into college, but when did you realize that you had a future in the sport?
You know, I think there's always that dream. I always had, you know, the role models like Brandi Chastain growing up, when, you know, she won the women's national team, won the World Cup in 99, and you know, moments like that really made me strive to put in the work and try and become the best I absolutely could. Now, having a realistic approach to that and you know, living out a dream are two totally different things. So I think just the feedback that I got from my college coaching staff, Mike Moynihan and David Nikolic, you know, they really instilled that work ethic in me. They knew that it was a dream of mine to compete at that next level. But they said, this is what, you know, needs to happen as far as your discipline and you know, your skill set needs to be at this level. So they helped me get to that point, and I'm thankful for, you know, their impact on my career.
Real quick, I want to point out in the background, you can hear your cat meowing, and I want to point it out only because you were telling us before we started the recording, it's a black cat named Pounce.
Yep. So when I was playing for FC Kansas City back in the day, probably 2015-16, I wanted to adopt a little cat. And the one cat that they had come in was a little black cat. And my mom said, oh, you should name it Pounce after Pounce the Panther. So, yeah, he's been all over the country with me throughout my career. And obviously, like I said, I had good 4 years at UWM, so it felt only fitting to name him Pounce.
Fantastic. You have your own mascot. It's great.
Yep.
As mentioned, you went to Appleton North, you were a Lightning, but I want to get into something before we talk more about soccer, and obviously it's been well documented, but, you know, at the age of 15, you were hit with life-changing news, and diagnosed with ovarian cancer, underwent a number of surgeries, chemotherapy. Going back to that time, just how difficult was that time in your life?
Yeah, I mean, I think just from a personal standpoint, right? I couldn't go to high school any longer, couldn't be with my classmates, with my friends, had to have a tutor come in and keep me on track to graduate, going to Milwaukee for treatments every month, losing my hair. It was a big change, obviously. I had to make a lot of big decisions that impacted my health, down the future. So it was a big adjustment. Being a freshman at a high school, new environment, and then all of a sudden you get hit with that news. But again, the reason I got through it all was just because I had such a good supporting cast for my friends, my family, my high school, the community of Appleton really came together to help make sure that my family was well taken care of and that I, had the best experience possible, battling through the treatment. So it did impact my ability to get recruited. I think when you look back at what I was able to achieve at UWM and not really having any other offers besides playing at UWM, I think people probably would say, well, how did you end up at UW-Milwaukee? But I think it all worked out in the end. I, like I said, had four absolutely amazing years at UWM. My teammates had a huge impact on my success. Like I said, the coaching staff had a huge impact on my success. So I really think it all was meant to be that way.
Your last surgery came on May 6th of 2005. You've been cancer-free since. What do you recall about that day?
So the day that I had the surgery, obviously lots going through your mind and wanting everything to go well. A couple weeks later was when I got the news that I was, the cancer had subsided, that I was in remission, and that day I remember the most. I remember getting the call from the hospital, from the doctor, at my parents' house. And I just remember asking my mom, wait, when do I have to go back? And, she's like, you don't have to go back. You just have to go back for scans and checkups and, not having to go back to do treatments and, stay for 14 days in a row. That was huge news. I remember driving straight to high school. I was in the spring, obviously, and was able to share the news with all of my high school teammates. A lot of my good friends were on the softball team, so that was in the spring, so kind of bounced around from the different facilities and was able to share the news with everyone, and obviously very close with my family, my grandparents. So huge sigh of relief, and obviously have been healthy since, so knock on wood.
That whole chapter in your life, how has that changed your outlook on life?
Yeah, I think, when you relate it to sports, having to do sprints or suicides and, just having that mental toughness, knowing that I was able to, go through chemotherapy, all the different health issues that came along with going through chemo and post-surgery and all those uphill battles, running sprints doesn't seem so difficult after you go through that. So I think it just instilled in me that, I've gone through a lot in my life at a young age and was able to overcome that. And I think when I got to the professional level is when I heard a lot of other stories of fans coming to games and saying how much of an inspiration I was to them. And so that's really what, I took away from it. This unfortunately is something that happens on a daily basis, and to be that shining light and someone to help them get through it, that's the part of my story that I like to share the most.
Now back on the soccer field, getting the opportunity to get back with Appleton North, you had a great career and a lot of success there with whether it be being a three-time All-State selection, first team as a senior when you had 33 goals, 10 game winners, the team qualified for state. What are your memories from your time as a Lightning?
Yeah, so our head coach was my club coach growing up when I played on the boys' team. I played with his son. So it was nice to get back to play for Coach John Wibben again. His son did play 1 year at UW, or a couple years at UW-Milwaukee as well. But just looking back at my high school career, like I said, it's a unique opportunity. You know, the club season and the grind of a club season is, especially when I was playing at in Milwaukee for FC Milwaukee at the time, you know, it's 3 days a week, tournaments on the weekends, you know, year round, and it gets to be a lot. And I think that spring season for high school, it made me appreciate the game again and to play with different people, play with my classmates, kind of be a leader in that role. I didn't really necessarily have that leadership role with FC Milwaukee in club. And so to play for Appleton North and be the leader of that program and help them, you know, achieve a lot, meant a lot to me and was a fun and an exciting time, I think, for my family as well.
And then from Appleton North to Milwaukee, and you mentioned earlier why Milwaukee. You came on scene, your freshman year was 2008, and you quickly made a name for yourself right away, scoring two goals in your college debut, including the game winner against Wisconsin back on August the 22nd of that season. How smooth of a transition was it for you going from the high school game to the college game?
Yeah, I think when you look back at it, it looks smooth, but coming into preseason, you know, you don't really know what to expect. You've got players, again, now you're, you know, coming from high school where you're the upperclassman coming into UW-Milwaukee as an underclassman, and new faces, new coaching staff, new expectations and level of play. You know, luckily, I think my club experience prepared me for the, you know, jumping into that new environment at UWM. And yeah, I think just grinding it out, right? If you put the work in and show your coaches that you're coachable and are willing to learn and work hard, I think that goes a long way. So I've always been one to really lean on the support of my teammates. And I think that was, like I said, that was a huge part of my success. Just playing the game of soccer, connecting, linking up with players, getting in the box. You know, I think you look back, you know, I obviously had a very successful freshman year, but by the end of my tenure at UW-Milwaukee, I was playing really, really good soccer. And that helped prepare me to get to the next level.
Well, you mentioned it looks smooth, and obviously you scored goals in your first seven college matches for that freshman season. You broke the school and league record for goals in a season with 24. You surpassed that by your senior year with a 26-goal campaign. Your first career hat trick came in the league championship game of your freshman season. Were you surprised by the success you had that first season?
Yes and no. You know, I think I've always had a knack for scoring goals for club. My club coach played me as a holding midfielder. And so my dad today still gives him, you know, crap about what were you doing wasting my daughter back as a holding midfielder when she's scoring goals like this. So I think it's all fun and games, but, you know, at the end of the day, I had a knack for scoring goals. And I think looking at my, you know, freshman year, you know, once you start having that success in the first few games, it gives you the confidence, right? And then going up and, you know, scoring goals against, you know, Big Ten schools like, you know, UW and, you know, Marquette, that gives you the confidence, obviously, going into Horizon League play when you're able to compete at a level in different conferences and then getting to the Horizon League and really kind of owning that league for 4 years.
Did you find added pressure after that freshman year, then your sophomore year, then your junior year, all the numbers you put up? Was there added pressure? Did you look at it that way? Did you look at it a different way?
Yeah, there was definitely expectations that I had set for myself, right? Like, you do this your freshman year, how do you repeat it? How do you do the same thing? How do you, you know, take another step forward? You look at my junior year, I did have a little bit of a lull in scoring. Part of that, I think, was I had broken my wrist and had to play with a big cast on it for that entire season. So that was a huge adjustment. But at the end of the day, as I kind of navigated through my 4 years at UWM, it became that realization that, hey, I have potential to play at that next level. So don't just settle on having success, like keep building off of that. Obviously got called into some youth national team camps, and that really gave me the confidence that, you know, I am competing at a national level and representing UW-Milwaukee. And yeah, just how do I continue to grow as an individual and help UWM achieve what we want to achieve?
you know you're doing something right when a down year is a 19-goal junior season. But how about defensively? How did opponents, you know, approach you? Obviously, that freshman year, they're going, who is this number 10? But by your sophomore year, you're well-known.
Yeah, it becomes difficult. And I look back to, you know, some of our preparation in the weeks leading up to games. And obviously, you know, scouting reports, other schools know who, you know, who's putting the ball in the back of the net for UWM. So David Nikolic, our assistant coach throughout the time, you know, helped me understand that, you know, a lot of times I'm going to be man marked, or the, you know, the eyes are going to be on me. It's how do I move off the ball to set myself up in good positions to score goals. So my movement off the ball throughout the, you know, those next 3 years became really, really important. You know, defending, how do I create opportunities defensively, putting pressure on the back line so that we win the ball up higher on the, in the field. So just little things like that, just, you know, that comes with, I think, just your understanding of the game and you know, kind of progressing through your career.
A number of All Horizon League accolades, All American status, first three-time Horizon League Player of the Year. You finished your Milwaukee career with 93 goals, 212 points, both school and league records. The goal is also ninth in NCAA D1 history. You think about all the records, all the accolades, at least at your time with Milwaukee, what are you most proud of?
I think the consistency of greatness that we were able to achieve, you know, obviously winning the Horizon League tournament 4 years in a row. There was, I think, a year or two where we, I think, tied first for the regular season, and that kind of put a chip on our shoulders, like, you know, we're better than settling for a tie like that. And so when we got into tournament play, that's when we really felt like, hey, we got to show the other teams that we're the real deal. So I think the thing I'm most proud about, like I said, is just the consistency of greatness that we were able to achieve. We held ourselves to a high standard. I think we all wish that we were able to achieve more in the NCAA tournament. But with that said, again, looking back, we were very successful. We were nationally ranked, you know, throughout those 4 years. A lot of people didn't know who UW-Milwaukee was. And, you know, after, you know, some of the wins that we were able to accumulate throughout those seasons, you can definitely say that people knew who UW-Milwaukee was.
Yeah, in your time, the Panthers going 61-19-7. When you look back at those 4 years, what do you equate all that consistency and success to? You look at your teammates, obviously you played a big role, but what made those teams so successful?
Hands down, Mike Moynihan and David Nikolic. Some of the best coaches I've ever played for, if not the best. Like I said, they held our team to a standard, whether it was, you know, showing up to practice on time and the level that they wanted us to play at, the concentration during our training sessions, the atmosphere that they created was top notch. We were definitely a family unit. You know, I look back, I still remember what was painted on our wall of our locker room, bringing out the best in each other, and I think they really did that. So I think what made us so successful is we were so close off the field. You know, we still go to the alumni events. We were just there this past spring. I'm actually going on a trip with a few fellow UWM teammates in August out to Portland, Maine. Nicole Spurl, Heather Roadhouse, Kelly McGrath, and Mary Wondolowski. So pretty excited to have that, you know, camaraderie with those ladies still. And I think that shows you that it wasn't just success, you know, on the field, that off the field, we were a tight-knit group, and I think it shows today.
Is there one game, one performance from your time in Milwaukee that stands out among the rest?
Yeah, for whatever reason, whenever people ask me this question, we actually ended up losing this game, I think, 4-3 in overtime. We played at the University of Texas in Austin against the Longhorns. It was a kind of a back-and-forth game. I think I had either 2 or 3 goals. We ended up losing on a set piece on a corner kick, but just that overall game, it was just a fun game to be a part of. Their goalkeeper was a player who played in the youth national team system with me, Alexa Gall. It was just fun being able to score against her, obviously, but just the atmosphere that, you know, playing against, you know, a big school like Texas, being able to compete at that level, it didn't go our way in the end, but it was just an exciting game from a goal standpoint.
After your Panther playing days, you got the opportunity to go over to Germany and play. How did that opportunity come about? And when you look at the competition, how did that compare or differ from what you were accustomed to?
Yeah, so obviously I knew I wanted to play at the next level. I had some really great feedback from Mike and David both about, you know, what that next step looks like. The WPS at the time was very unsteady. Not sure if they were going to, you know, last through another season. So I got the advice that I should look to play overseas. And so David Niklich connected me with an agent based over in Germany, put together some highlights from my UWM time, obviously, and sent that off. And Bayern Munich happened to be one of the teams that showed interest. And it was obviously a big decision. I kind of wanted to lean towards the WPS route. The thought of, you know, I grew up in Appleton, went to school at UW-Milwaukee, just an hour and a half away, to then go overseas to Germany kind of felt scary for me, being, you know, in my early 20s. But obviously took the chance on that opportunity, went over there just for 4 months just to kind of finish out their end of the season. Had a lot of success, had a great opportunity to kind of enter into the professional world. Had a lot of success, like I said, in that first season, and decided to sign another 2-year contract. So did not think at all that I'd be going, you know, spending 2.5 years of my life over in Germany, but looking back, it was probably one of the best decisions I've made.
And then you got the opportunity to come back to the States. You play with FC Kansas City, the Orlando Pride in 2017 with the Houston Dash. How were those experiences?
Yeah, I think the U.S. League versus the German League is very different. The German League is very tactical, very strategic in how you want to build the ball up the field, very possession oriented. I think the U.S. League, at least when I was playing in it, in the NWSL, was not necessarily very direct, but very transitional. When you win the ball, how can you go to goal as fast as possible? Which didn't necessarily suit my style of playing, especially after coming off 2.5 years where it was a lot more possession-based. But I think in the end, I had success in both leagues, and being able to play at that high of a level, you know, getting called into women's national team camp kind of in between my stints with Bayern Munich and with FC KC. So yeah, I had a great experience in both leagues.
And you mentioned it, okay, so you got the opportunity to play with the United States women's national team, various levels, training camp. You've gotten to go all over the place. Portugal is one of the, you know, countries that comes to mind as well. When you look at all of your travels, is there a country, is there a city that stands out among the rest?
Yeah, and I think it's funny because when you're traveling with, you know, the youth national team or the women's national team, you know, you pretty much are at a soccer field or the hotel the entire time. There might be an afternoon where you get to go adventure into the cities, but obviously Portugal holds a close place, like you said, to my heart. That was where I got my first full team caps, where I got to sub on the field for Abby Wambach. So huge honor to be able to have that opportunity. But, you know, I think, you know, some of the times, like when we got to go to to Spain as well, had an awesome time there with the women's national team. I think overall just being able to see different cultures and experience, you know, foods and playing with different players, like, you know, playing for Bayern Munich, having teammates from Sweden, Norway, Italy, Austria, Switzerland. Those are things I look back and am thankful that I had the opportunity to have that experience and share part of my career with some of those players as well.
You announced your retirement from professional soccer in February 2018, now into the coaching ranks. A, was the retirement announcement, was that a difficult decision? And then was coaching always kind of the next step?
It was definitely a difficult decision, right? Soccer has been a huge part of my life. I had very high expectations for myself to make it to the national team level. I think a little bit... I think timing had played a role in that. I think timing wasn't necessarily on my side coming in to the women's national team. Obviously got my cap center, Tom Sermani, and he got let go. New head coach comes in, and I think just timing wasn't quite on my side. And looking back at my career, I have zero regrets. I feel like I did everything I absolutely wanted to achieve, playing overseas, playing here in the U.S., playing for our country. So I felt confident that I was ready to kind of hang up the cleats in the sense of that I was able to achieve everything that I wanted to. It was difficult not knowing what that next step for me was. I am currently working for a small tech company, doing business development and marketing. The CEO and president of the company is also the woman who I coach with at the Green Bay Glory for the USLW League. So coaching is not my full-time gig, but it is something that brings me great joy, especially here in the Green Bay area. Obviously, Appleton being a short distance from there, coaching a lot of players who grew up in the Fox Valley, played for, Mena High School or Appleton East, Menasha, Seymour, obviously the Green Bay area as well. A lot of those players have, the dream that I had as well. So to kind of give back and help them develop through their college careers and beyond is a huge passion of mine.
Well, let me wrap it up by asking you about the upcoming now 2023 FIFA Women's World Cup, which is upon us. United States won their fourth title in 2019. Can they do it again?
I think they have a very young team, young roster this year. So I think if they can get some early results, that's going to obviously boost their confidence. I think a lot of other nations fear the U.S. just because they have that belief, and it's always been that way. There's no goal differential that the U.S. can't come back just because of their work rate and their ability to put fear in their opponents. So, I think they've got a great chance to win, and obviously I'll be watching.
So if not the U.S., then who?
I guess I got to go with Germany. Obviously playing 2.5 years over there, kind of like my second home. I had a lot of Australian teammates as well, so it would be awesome to see them. I feel like they play a really great style of soccer. Sam Kerr up top is a lot of fun to watch, being a fellow striker. So,
Well, Sarah, as always, thanks a lot for your time and for the trip down memory lane.
Yeah, awesome. Thanks for having me. I had a great time speaking with you guys, and looking forward to seeing more success for the UWM Women's Soccer Program.
That's Sarah Hagen, and thank you for listening to yet another edition of the Pounce Cast.